Welcome to Keep the Hotel Empty. Today we have kept the hotel empty to welcome back dear friend of the show, fine artist Melissa Labuti. Some of you may recognize her book, Alien Beach, is always on the table. So if anybody wonders what this is all about when you watch the show, it is this woman here. So Melissa, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Eric. Actually, I have something. I had, here, I'll let you open it. It's not a big deal, but since you like Alien Beach so much.
We did.
Something you
oh my God, this is awesome.
Spot for one of my favorite
thank you.
Photographs.
This is so cool. Awesome. So now everybody's going to get to see this too. Now this is a little bit more telling the story out of the gate than just the book cover. That's why I said if someone sees the book cover and you wonder what's in there, this is what it is.
The mystery.
Yeah. Thank you. So I know you got a show coming up starting at the beginning of July at Art Ovation, and I want to talk about that. But okay. I've got some other ancillary questions I've brewed up in my curiosity since I've last seen you. But I kind of want you to walk me through what your last year has been like creating, because I know you've been making some really interesting pieces. You've been going off in your directions a bit deeper. So I'm curious what the last year has been like in your creative landscape.
Well, a little slower. Like, I feel like I should have produced more, but I don't think the average person realizes how much time goes into something like this and how many levels of, I want to say, like, it's like constructing a house. You got to start with your foundation and then you get your framework, and that's kind of how building something like this is.
What do you see as the foundation? Is it different every time and it's just something you recognize as the foundation, or you've got a strict, I shouldn't say strict, but a noticeable step in your process that it's like, okay, I'm going to build from here?
You know, I never ever have a strict process.
Yeah, that's why I struck that one instantly. Strict.
I mean, this started out with, I'm trying to remember, because it's gone through like three phases of what I was planning or thinking in my head. And I built up the sphere-like things. I don't want to say what I don't know what they are. I don't know if they're supposed to be planets. But when I started off, I was thinking of the beginning of time, beginning of all time, beginning of everything.
So is it, would you say that those ideas that become like monolithic like that, they're the foundation?
Depending on where I'm at, depending on what my initial thought or inspiration was. That was my initial inspiration for this, the beginning. Because the piece before this, which is called A Beginning, it's actually at Chasen Gallery right now, is a giant resin piece. It's 48 by 48.
Cool.
And it's got a cool shape to it. And the whole idea of that was like all the elements and gases and all that stuff that makes up the universe floating around and not having made a connection yet. And you can see that in that piece.
And that was the predecessor to this?
Yeah. And I thought I would do something very similar, but you know what? They take on a life of their own, my art. Really, like, I'll have an idea or, a concept, and maybe think, oh yeah, I want to use those porcupine quills or whatever in it. And then at the end, when it's all said and done, I haven't used the porcupine quills, and it's transformed into something a bit different.
Yeah, the quills had another project calling them. They just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, like with this, it was going to be just little mounds of things that looked like different kinds of elements, maybe one metal and the other one, I don't know, whatever, gases, like the green one. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of gases. And then as I'm doing it, I thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool, like, if they're popping out of the canvas, like, coming to fruition? So that's set off this whole resin deal.
So a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, but some artists will have like a rough sketch or something that they have planning. When you very first start, is it the very first artistic move you make, for want of a better way of couching it? Is it strictly just off the top of your head what feels like it's translating the idea? Or do you try to plan a technique you're going to use first, or, you know, like a general concept first? Because obviously you're not sketching it out first.
No, I did not sketch this out. I didn't. Sometimes, like, if it involves a face or something like that, then I have to sketch a little bit. But I probably should do. Probably would be beneficial if I did more of that. But I can guarantee you, even the times that I have done that, it still gets, it's like it takes a life of its own, and other ideas come up in the process, and stories, and the stories that come into my mind are sometimes really intense. And
well, that's actually, well, let's get into my curiosity I brewed up in between then, because that's what I'm really curious about from your inspiration standpoint. I'm used to being in a music world where most of the existential crisis is handled through long songs and trippy sounds. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So I'm curious how the impulse to handle the crisis, the existential crisis that either we go through or we're ignoring, is like the driving force for this for you. It seems like, from a just observing it, it's almost like the manifestation of trying to answer those questions that maybe
exactly
are unanswerable, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
You nailed it.
Okay. So what's the desire to keep doing that?
I just keep having more questions or experiences or kind of visions. I should probably just write a screenplay and be done with it.
Well, one of the things...
Maybe a horror film.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, I mean, everybody's doing it. There's no wrong answer. But I was recently watching a thing where someone was proposing the point that it's important for people to create right now, even if they're not creative, because we need to be kind of speaking the language that art does, that we don't, as it were. So I guess I'm kind of asking you how this helps you speak that language to people and wrestle with some of these questions and things that you see and hear.
Well, I know what you're asking. It's interesting because I consciously, this was, you know, a year or two ago, I have really like weird visions and dreams and sometimes nightmares, and that I remember, and a lot of them involve really strange, bizarre things. Like, one thing is, this may sound weird, and you guys might all think I'm nuts, but
not here.
I have measurements and video to prove it. But, like, our house shifts, like, about a half an inch. It'll go up and down, which conjured up my imagination. And so my imagination gets off on something like that. I start making up my own stories,
right,
of what it could be. And like, oh, maybe we're on a old ancient alien burial ground or
right,
or something. Or maybe the aliens are down underneath Florida instead of Antarctica.
Right.
Yeah.
That would account
stuff
for a lot.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm really good at entertaining myself. But there were some things that kept cropping up to me that I hem and hawed whether to put it out on a painting in hopes that someone else would connect and maybe start a conversation. Like Lucy here. I mean, what is your first take?
someone stuck in the middle, I guess.
She's in the in-between.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just curious. Like.
Yeah, that's my initial, if I had snap judgment, or snap reaction, I should say, not judgment, but yeah.
What about the wire work?
Well, I have the distinct advantage of you having explained that to me the last time we spoke, so I pick up on that from it. The intertwined nature of time crossing over each other and above and below one another.
What was that? But I also got a distinct imagery of, well, during the creation, she kind of evolved into almost like, I don't know if she's an AI, not a robot, but what do you call them? An AI?
Cyborgs?
Cyborgs?
When you're half human, half, when you're half disease?
I guess, something like that. And I thought people might get disturbed by it with all those wires, because I think it was happening to her without her will, without her consent, that she was like taken. Or you could look at it in a positive note.
Well, that's sort of the beauty of art being subjective, of course. But this is kind of the thing, like the being able to communicate things like this. Do you find that, I have no other way to put it, that your personal well-being is tended to by being able to get this stuff out instead of having Atlas with the existential stone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, without my art from, I mean, I'm a very emotional, some say too emotional.
You're allowed.
My whole life. You're too emotional. But I am emotional. So art has definitely helped me throughout my life. It hasn't always been as existential. Although my first series of artwork, the tribal period, was all based on, I totally believe I was, had a past life in Africa, and probably not too far from this one. So that idea based off long series, 10 years probably worth of work. And I feel like now it's like, I'm over it.
Was that like a compulsory thing?
It was more like a spiritual drive, something from beyond me, trying to maybe heal me or heal a past.
The part of you that's riding in this vehicle now?
Yeah, yeah.
So when, but that's kind of the thing, when you get into tackling those, I guess, what's the fork in the road then when you start to look at things more like in a universal way or in the existential way instead of, or when it, what takes you out of that 10 years of doing that? That's a long time. Thank you for sticking with us. We hope you're enjoying the episode. We'd like to take this time to talk to our sponsor for this week, Tony Barrett from Barrett Realty.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate you having us on the show. Barrett Realty has been in business for 20 years, and we are a boutique real estate company. And I look forward to servicing our community with people that want to buy and sell property. I think it's very important that we're out there advocating for personal property rights. And we want to be the people that you select when it comes to buying and selling homes. So please, if you're interested in buying or selling homes in Manatee, Sarasota, or surrounding counties, reach out to us at Barrett Realty at 941-745-9999 or brmovesyou.com.
Again, we'd like to send a big thanks out to Tony Barrett, Barrett Realty, for sponsoring this episode and being an awesome part of this community. Please enjoy the rest.
I wanted to start painting abstracts because I was very attracted to abstracts. And I just was like almost like a cathartic relief can move on. I mean, I've thought about getting back into that just because people have told me you should paint like that again. You know, you should.
A lot of should out there.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of shoulds.
Oh man.
I think it should be banned from the English language.
Yes. My mom always told me as a child not to should all over myself.
That's good.
So anytime I hear somebody say that, I instinctively say it.
Yeah. I catch myself saying it, but
yeah,
my mom's notorious for shoulds.
Yeah, well, it's
I guess what they
it's a popular thing. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, but, so was the abstract thing just out of the blue, or was it deliberately like I need to take myself out of my comfort zone and do something else?
No, it was a gradual thing. I dabbled in doing abstracts, and it kind of evolved. Because I was studying Picasso. I mean, this was a long time ago. And I feel like I'm a slow learner when it comes to art.
Why do you feel that way?
Well, I'm almost ready to move on from, I mean, it evolves even with the time. I thought, time, you know, I can research this forever.
No pun intended.
And time travel and the idea of time travel, or at least going to different dimensions, because that's pretty much the same thing in a way.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And I think I'm encouraged for possible selfish reasons of wanting to connect with other people that think outside the box that far. We're on the fringe, kind of speak. But also for other people that may feel like me, where they were alone in their thought processes and ideas, and maybe they're having nightmares or whatever, to help other people find out that, you know, hey, I'm not alone. And I can really connect with this art because it speaks to me. I see this. I see what I've been feeling or I've been thinking. That happens to me with other people's art, too.
Right.
There's been quite a few artists that I've... I just see, like, oh, my gosh, that's what I would paint if on that crazy thought I had.
What role do you think art inherently serves in our ability to evolve and learn from one another?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite...
What role do you think art especially... Why, I don't even want to couch it. What role do you think art serves in helping us communicate things that are helping us evolve? Because you said... you know, it's not something we talk about. It's not something we think about so much anymore. And that usually makes me want to ask the question, well, what do you think makes it so we're not paying so much attention to things like the inevitable, where do we come from, where are we going type questions? But I think the answer to that has become, well, we're all distracted by phones and whatnot. So now my new thing is kind of asking, what role do you think it is that art serves in preserving our ability to still have some communication of substance and still kind of collectively talk about where did we come from and where are we going?
Well, I, for one, I've written a lot of papers and applied for a lot of grants and residencies and things like that, and requires a writing skill. I mean, that's a big part of it, is your writing. And what I've found out over the past year or two is the ChatGPT, people are, I don't think it should be allowed in that atmosphere, in that arena.
Yeah, that's a whole world.
I think
world.
If you're an artist and you're applying for a grant, that's a money, I feel like you should be able to write yourself. Answer the questions yourself and not have ChatGPT do it. And I know a lot of designers now are not designing. They're just going to AI, the generative AI pictures. And I have a horrible feeling about this whole AI thing.
Well, that was going to be my next question, so let's hear it.
Yeah, I have an actual, like, terror of it, that maybe I've had visions or dreams or whatever of the future. Maybe it's the far future. But I think they'll eventually wipe us out somehow. There'll be the death of humanity.
Well, first they got to take out our art. And I'm wondering how you feel about that when you said it yourself, visual artists can go to generative art and make anything. Tattoo artists do it, mural artists do it, all kinds of people do it, and there's all kinds of opinions about it. I guess I'm more curious about what you feel the difference is and what you feel is getting lost.
Those personal nuances of each individual artist and using your hands is so incredible. I know for me, touching, I use my hands a lot.
Right.
I mean, I use brushes occasionally, but I use my hands a lot. And there's actually some quotes of how studies that it, the positive benefits of using your hands in an artistic way. And I forget what they were, but it was really interesting.
Yeah.
But I think the society is going to lose sight of humanity.
Right.
And humans and what we are about in our past, our history, our ancestry, our stories of and having emotion. Because AI can't feel.
But it aggregated all the feelings.
Yeah.
It knows how we feel.
It thinks it knows how we feel.
Yeah, exactly. I guess that's the paradigm for now. Cha-woo.
And you know more about it. I wanted to talk to you about it and get your ideas about this whole thing.
Personally, and the reason why I ask you is because I feel like in the music sense of the term, as long as there's live people performing, they'll be able to draw an audience. And as long as there's physical media being produced, fine artists or artists of whatever stripe will still have their audience, right? But one of the world's most famous sculptors, whose name escapes me, he makes these giant sculptures out of white stone. And he's now using a repurposed packaging arm as a sculptor, and he can feed in his visions. And it does 85%, 95% of the sculpting, and he comes in and does the detail work, and now he can make many more sculptures. So, you know, if you had a machine that could help you wind the wires, would the temptation be there to wind the wires?
The temptation? No, because if I'm relaxed enough, it can be kind of fun. Doing the wires?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of this is not fun. I gotta tell you, a lot of this is.
Well, it's gotta be labor of love to some degree.
Labor, yeah. Physical labor.
But do you see a time where, like, or I mean, do you at all think, man, if AI starts to be enough robot arms, they'll do all of this and you won't be able to tell the difference?
No, I just want them to do all my social media for me.
Yeah, same. Well, that's the utopian world of artists. If AI could just do everything else,
just
so we can do art,
pain. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
But do you worry that they'll someday be do you think at all that there'll be a time when you can walk into a gallery and there'll be a piece, something akin to what you've done that wasn't done entirely by a machine, and there'll be an equivalent, or that physical art like this will always have a niche, like, let's hope, performing human beings do for music? And I'm not convinced that we're not going to be replaced by, you know, Fozzie Bear animatrons, you know, but still. Do you think there'll be a time when there'll be this indiscernible difference?
I think it's a possibility. I don't think it might not be in the next 20 years. I don't know how long it would take for them to Maybe I've just watched too many movies, and I have a really vivid imagination about this whole AI thing and future, or maybe it was the past.
Right. Or maybe it's both simultaneously if we're into quantum physics. Yes. If you know, I watch too many things about quantum everything. It's quantum to my brain.
Yeah, I'm just not really good at the mathematic part. But does it fear... I fear more that the mainstream of humanity is going to lose sight of what art is and what humans are capable of with our imagination. Because if we didn't, we wouldn't have these buildings. If somebody didn't have some vivid imagination, that wouldn't exist. And the thought, one thing that gets me often is how so much of the many people are so blindfolded or
tunnel vision.
Yeah, tunnel vision. That would be a good word. And they don't think, they think if you say something about an alien, you're nuts. And that's where a fear comes in sometimes about speaking about my art more than, and drawing it, because I've wanted to draw some much more, not necessarily dark, but dark. Could be dark, considered dark.
We'll go with challenging.
Challenging. But there's a part of me that stops short because of the fear of the acceptance, or is it too much?
That's like, interesting. Have you ever done a piece that you felt that way about?
That it was too much?
Uh-huh.
Well, I thought more people would find Lucy here questioning what she was and who she was and what's going on. I thought there'd be more questions about what's happening within the painting. And I was real curious, because this is pretty new.
Yeah. Both of these are pretty new, right?
Well, this one I was working on today. So
nice. Love it. This is the one you were telling me about that you've been trying to get yourself to finish?
Yeah.
So are you calling this finished, or is this just work
I'm
in progress enough to
finished.
Show it?
And I might retake a last look at home, but I mean, I literally walked out the door with it. And
yeah. Well, then that always begs a question that I have to ask, and it's sort of a trite question, but I find it interesting the varying answers that I get. How do you know when you're done with something?
I've been asked that before. I just say I'm done.
Yeah.
Which I did say today, like, I'm done. But then I was looking at it because I haven't had a real chance to really look at it. Another thing I like to do after I finish a piece is I put it in my room by my bed. So, like, that's what I see sitting in my bed, which is also my office. So I spend a lot of time in a sit-up position.
Yeah.
And it, not only do I get to reap the benefits of the art itself, like somebody else had done it, and I think it's cool, but I see a lot more into them, and I find things, symbolic things, or subconscious things that might have come out unbeknownst to me.
Why do you think that is? Because you don't have like such a set plan from the jump, and you allow things to change as you're doing it?
I do. I mean, I try to, when I start a piece, I try to like open myself to a channel of creativity. Stephen King talks about it as a pond in, I think it's Lissy's Story, which is one of my favorite books of his, and he talks about this pond and of creativity and where everyone goes to get their inspiration and I kind of can relate to that, but I don't see it as a pond. It's more like something coming down, and almost like being channeled, I would say, to do what the universe or whoever's up there.
Yeah, we've
wants to get out there.
Yeah, we've definitely had a couple different people express similar notions to that. I've asked them the question, do you think you come up with ideas or do you think they get given to you?
Uh-huh.
Do you think there's a particular thing? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever had an artistic block? Have you ever had the point where you're like, hey, I don't know what I'm going to do?
Every day.
Yeah. Really? Okay, so then this makes an easy question.
It's hard.
If you're faced with that wall on a regular basis, then it has to beg the question, how do you get past the wall?
I usually walk away for a minute, you know. Or if I have to make a decision too, like I had like 3 or 4 ideas with this piece, things I wanted to follow through. And they all converged at the same point in the painting. So I had to decide, like, was I going to put wire on it? Or was I going to do some drawing? Like my line drawings? So I couldn't make up my mind. I just said, look, Melissa, we're just going to do the wire. And carry on with my theme of that. But... yeah, as far as a total block, every time I start something new, looking at I want to do a memorial piece for my dad who passed away a little over a year ago, or almost a year and a half. And I've been contemplating it for a year and a half since he died, and I'm afraid to start it. Because I don't know what to do. It's that writer's block, you know? Or I get these ideas and I don't know how to do them.
Do you ever get, like, the thought, like, you have an idea, but you don't know how you're going to do it justice, so you can't start? Is it that?
Oh, and when it comes to, like, portraiture and stuff like that, yeah. With faces. Absolutely.
Why do you think that is?
Because I'm... not skilled enough for myself.
So it's just a matter of critiquing your own work.
Well, yeah, I have a hard time with portraiture. I would like to, it's one of my goals is to get better at it.
Do you critique your work as you're doing it? Honestly.
You're kidding.
I mean, obviously you have to like think to yourself, okay, is this what I want or not want?
Gosh.
But when you're like, when you're letting the ideas come to you, like you said, how much quality control do you do before you start putting it out? I guess that's the question. Do you let the ideas come out and then say to yourself, is this what I wanted? Is this good enough? Or do you try to play quality control before it's a thing?
Well, I would say I try. Like if I have an idea of what I'd like, and sometimes those ideas get bypassed and it's like I'm not even aware that I'm not doing that anymore.
Ah. So that's the instinct you built up over time.
With this, all of a sudden I had these black shapes on the canvas and I was like, well that wasn't the plan. what is this about? What am I doing? And even later, I got so immersed in the resin and building these things that I kind of lost focus on what they were originally about. So I think that they remind me of so many things, like... the beginning of planets, or just the molecules of certain elements. I was going to follow that route. That was another one. I mean, I went through so many ideas with this. It was pretty wild.
Was the piece that preceded this that you did with all the resin, was that one of the first times you used resin or used it on that scale?
No. At that scale, it was the first time I ever did anything that big. It was quite a project.
And somewhere along the line. Well, let me ask you this. Do you enjoy the process the most or when you have the done piece?
It depends on what part of the process.
Ah.
I'm pretty well sick of sanding. Resin and I have a love-hate relationship.
Because it's just like mad labor intensive. I don't know that much about it.
I don't know how these people do it on the TV. I mean, on YouTube and stuff, all the videos. I have no idea how they can stay so clean and neat. I get that stuff everywhere. I've been burned by it a couple of times, actually. And yeah, it's like, I'm one of the ones that, like, I should have, like, a funny YouTube channel because in the art. I seriously thought about doing that because, I mean, I laugh at myself.
Well, that's key.
I mean, and it's real. It's like, oh, what did I do with that? It, you know, like I'm like a Lucille Ball or something, you know? And
Yeah.
Like with the resin, I get it on my gloves. And then when it starts to cure, I'll go to... Something will start dripping or something. You know, go to grab it and to kind of clean it up. And then all of a sudden this is stuck. And then I'm trying to get that off.
When cartoons come to life.
Yeah, definitely. But I like, my favorite part is the beginning when I'm working with mud and texture. I love that. I love getting my hands into it. I love going through all my stuff and looking at, forgetting about like certain fossils I have, or I have all kinds of stuff, little things, you know, to put in art.
Stuff is crucial or you can't make anything.
Yeah. I've been really hooked on the whole industrial aspect, trying to incorporate it with organic materials. That's what I was trying to pull off as far as a balance,
mm-hmm.
the yin and yang of the past with organic materials. There's a lot of crystals and a lot of quartz in there and abalone and opals. There's opals involved and... corresponding that with using like real metal, like oxides and then the shiniest screws I can find.
That's the prerequisite for screws.
Yeah. I drive the guys at Lowe's crazy. It's like, I don't care what size it is or what it's used for. I just want the shiniest and I want them this long.
And they're like, what is this lady getting into?
They'll show me something and I'll be like, no, I like the bluer tint to them. I forget what metal that is.
They're thinking, man, it's time for you to spray paint these things.
It doesn't work well.
No, I'm sure not. Plus some flakes off, I would bet.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, yeah. Like I would have to imagine. So at what point, how long did this...
2 months.
2 months from thought to this?
Probably 3 months from, let's see, we're June already. March, April, wow, almost 3. I finished my last one at the end of March. So at the end of March. I wanted to do this as a quick in-between because I want to do one more large 48 by 48 piece for Art Ovation.
For the show?
Yeah, and I thought I would do, sometimes I give myself an exercise of, and challenge of creating a piece in 24 hours. I haven't done that yet. I haven't met 24 hours, but I've, you know, it's really given me a base sometimes of That's how I got into the time thing, actually.
I find a lot of artists, regardless of if they're making music or writing a book or making fine art, they somewhere along the line inevitably start to put like some, and I hate to do this to you, but put some time pressure on themselves where they feel like, oh my God, I'm not being productive enough. Is that what you're feeling when you say things like, I should have done more, like inherently you think you should have been more productive?
I just wish I had more within the body of work in this theme and series. I was just thinking about how a whole year has gone by. And, you know, I want fresh work up on those walls.
Right.
But also... I mean, I don't know. Maybe I should. I am too hard on myself. And it's really difficult as an artist. I'm sure there's a lot of people that have a similar issues of others, some of them significant people in your life, maybe even just a passerby acquaintance. But people are so judgmental.
Right.
I mean, my son thinks I should go paint sunsets. So
I think that would probably, you might find you in a loony bin after that one. No, don't, not another sunset.
It's psychedelic. Yeah. Which I don't know what it would turn out.
Yeah, I was going to say, might be a sunset, but not look like one.
Right. But I think there's that pressure when you're trying to be a full-time making money artist,
right?
You know, that's
right.
Your career. People don't take me seriously sometimes. I mean, they don't understand about my time because I'm not only working towards my career and my goals, personal business goals of making money enough to live,
right?
You know, I don't want to be
enough to create,
yeah, and enough to, I mean, these things cost a fortune. For me, you know, bottles of resin aren't cheap. And I try to use high quality materials. And then again, I also try to recycle a lot and repurpose as much as possible. But I forget what my point was.
Well, we were just kind of talking about how people put pressure on themselves to create and how that works, you know. If you, because some people will feel like, oh man, I'm not making enough, and then they'll just like make as much as they can, and you know, it's just garbage, and that was just clearing it out to make room. And other people have to gestate on ideas until they can see them to fruition. And if it takes 5 years, I mean, Tool took 14 years to make a record and kept a fan base. So
yeah.
You know, you never.
Yeah.
I'm always curious how different artists approach the time that's passing and the way they feel about their creation in it. And that's why when you said you felt like you should have done more, that really perked my interest.
Well, I'm in a place where there is just not enough hours in the day. I mean, I am diligently trying to take this intensive courses in marketing for artists, and trying to learn. Every time I do a painting, I'm having to learn a new skill, it seems like. A new tool.
Do you do that on purpose?
Maybe a little bit. Maybe because I don't know why I do these things where it requires so much sanding.
Really, the sanding is really a bee in
really
the bonnet.
I don't like sanding.
So if we could get an AI to sand, that's cool. At least that. You guys can sand.
But then again, when I accomplish something and something becomes from a dull finish and all of a sudden it's shiny like a piece of glass, that gives me a lot of confidence, and you know, I give myself pats on the back. But the person that comes up and views this piece in the gallery, they're not going to have a clue of how many hours of sanding it took to create this.
Right. Do you think that this just gave me a weird, because you're absolutely right. And I like going to art museums and I like looking at art and imagining what it took to make it. But you're right. You never can know. And Lord knows one day you had something, like you said, painted on there. You painted totally over it. The process is unknowable after the fact. But now we live in a time where so many people are documenting everything they do. Do you think that it's important to do that? So people can have an idea of what it takes to do it? Or do you think it's better to just go off, do your thing, don't be seen, and then drop your treasure on the world?
I like showing my process videos. They're the one kind of video I actually like. But most people, the average person, would not have the patience or interest to sit and watch them. I personally am so immersed in social media right now that I really could just throw up.
Yeah. I don't think you're alone in that one.
I just hate that the society or that our world, that as an artist, both music, most artists are almost forced. You know, unless you've been in it for so long and got your got to a professional level, you know, 20 years ago, you know, without social media, I just don't know how you get anywhere. And even with social media, I don't.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
you're right.
It's a tough cookie. It's constantly changing. And then you have to follow these trends of what type of video, like these reveal videos, and
right,
people are doing all kinds of funky things. People are painting with a mop to get people's attention, and
yeah,
I don't think it's because they want to paint with a mop. I think it's they're trying to come up with something catchy to get to sell artwork.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right, or I can definitely see that. So I'm not so educated on this. In fact, you couldn't call me educated on it at all. How did art proliferate before? What was the main way for art to proliferate before? Having galleries and just soirees?
Well, from my experience, what I always wanted was a rep, and that was somebody that took your slides around to different galleries and tried to get you into a gallery, and then the gallery would be the responsible one to sell it.
And social media has impacted that now by there's no more taking your slides, it's looking at your social media presence?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if there are art reps, people that actually that's how they make their money, is taking artists and selling them. Do you know of any?
I was going to say that's just putting another hand in the pie, because we've had people on
that
the show.
Too.
We've had people on the show who are great advocates of art and are trying to get it out there, and they're trying to chisel away at the 50-50 split with galleries.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you did get somebody in there, you're still looking at 50 gallery, 10, 20 for your rep, and then you're ultimately the one making the least, like every artist. Why?
And that's a big part of social media, is so people can start getting paid. I mean, artists getting paid. I mean, we have a very valuable part of this society. And, you know, I've run into people, some of them even close to me, that don't seem to really understand, like, if we took art away, what would this world be like?
Well, that's what I was kind of trying to ask about before. Like, what do you feel like in the absence of this being done by you or a real human, we're now not communicating with each other anymore? You know, what dies with that?
Humanity. I mean, human beings. I mean, it's disturbing enough, because I was at the age when all this started transpiring to have lived the past, the way things were done. And it happened so quickly. But it is scary. That it is a big fear of mine, of for the earth, not only earth, but of humanity, of what's going to happen with AI.
Because we're going to lose some things along the way.
Well, maybe us.
Yeah.
You know, if they overtook us, I mean...
That's why I was wondering in how you feel about art's necessity in pushing back against that. Like, it is important to be active as an artist now, not like just in our own skin. It's important that we express ourselves in this and this and that. But do you find that we're at a particularly important time for art, period, for humans? Like,
I think we should gather together and put a stop to or slow down anyway. Yeah. Some of the usage...
I wish.
I mean, like it's okay now, but like these people that are having AI write everything for them, or yeah, chat or what? I don't even know all the
terminology. It's all the same thing. Yeah.
But so next, they are gonna have them do their artwork.
Yeah, it's weird because I see a lot of the argument floating around, especially in the music world, but it affects us too in that. You know, I'll use AI to help me write the descriptions for the shows because I have to take more time cropping clips and talking to guests. And you know what I mean? It's just a way to, and I saw somebody say, well, if I can use AI to make all of my rhythm tracks and all I have to do is play guitar and sing, then it makes room for me to be a better guitar and singer. But I feel like that's a kind of a slippery slope to the point where we might be not good at anything anymore. And I'm wondering if that's the way you're kind of feeling it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's scary to think that it would wipe us out, because they're already wiping out other jobs, other things.
So do you feel...
And I'm concerned, like me, I'm concerned about, are you going to have chat do all your writing? I mean, what is happening to our intelligence and our ability for ourselves to communicate in our kids. I mean, mine are grown now, but grandkids, you know, what kind of skill level writing a biography or an artist statement are they going to have if they automatically have been feeding it right into a computer, a couple of ideas, and have it generate something?
Right.
You know, where is the creativity and the imagination and the ability, the skill of writing?
Yeah, that's our magic trick. We're supposed to be able to make something out of nothing.
I mean, even a lot of the portrait artists are using the projection tracing.
That's what I was asking about more before, too, when I was trying to get at what you do when you start to lay this stuff out, because obviously you're not plotting out the framework and tracing it out perfectly.
I'm doing it all the time. No, you sometimes get an idea like, okay, I want some pieces coming off. I want to go bigger. You know, I want to do a big time piece with big pieces of plexiglass that I might need help, like a younger person to help me actually do the physical labor.
But either way, it's winging it all the time.
Yeah, because I changed up my thoughts. They develop their own story. The story changes. This story changed. I was going to do like the face part. Mm-hmm. I was going to do all in elements. I was going to do all the elemental. I studied the elemental chart for like 2 days ago. From what I forgot back in high school, speaking of losing, you know, your skills. And so I learned that again. Well, I probably couldn't recite it, but.
Enough of what you needed to get
to
doing what you needed to do.
I was
going to
do that in the face and try to really get down to the origins of how a body is created. And that's when I started doing the wireframe thoughts. And then I have these other thoughts of, I can't explain it. They come to me. These balloon-shaped things are constantly coming to me with faces in them, and they alter. Some of my drawings do it, and I don't know how. But as you look at them, all of a sudden the face will be turned sideways, something with the lighting and the way the lines are drawn, the 3D aspect. I was hoping for that with this, but I don't know. I haven't examined it.
Yeah, I was gonna say you still get that on look at it at home. It. Yeah, you already gave yourself that out. I guess maybe do you feel like then that's what you get for trying to have a plan that you don't know if it did it or not?
I started off drawing. Like more of a black and white line face. And I thought it was just too rough. I thought it'd be too rough. So I must have drawn like 5 different faces before time ran out. And I said, just pick one. Just pick it. Just decide. Yeah, so like it evolved, and they all had different meanings to them. Like the elemental part, one I had originally thought of was, which actually wasn't even the original, but I started to draw them with the letters, you know, the little equation. What are they called? The titles, like.
Like the little characters
like
in math?
The chart. You know how the chart is.
Oh, the periodic table?
Yeah, the periodic
table. Okay, yeah.
And,
We're really good at password. We should be on password. After this, password. That's how we'll fund more art projects.
I'm up for it. But yeah, so it evolved. And each time it evolved, it's like more of a story came to the painting itself and what it meant. And I mean the globe part, especially that big one, I mean it started off as this black organic blob type thing, and I wanted it to be just raw material that's going to form into earth. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it graduated to, well, I think I want it to come an actual planet or an actual element popping through to this dimension, hence the half cone or half spheres,
right,
came about because I wanted to pop into this dimension in form. And then they turned into like, well, what if they're alien cities? And because it started looking like a city, and, you know, and it, you know, my mind just goes crazy.
Well, that's the part that I'm interested in. So, like, I ask a lot of artists this one, and like you're setting me up to ask all my trite questions, but I have to. You're talking about all these decisions that you have to make along the way, and invariably that's the creative process, right? Decide what we're going to do. How much and how do you balance making those decisions with instinct and like the plan? So like when, you know, you said you set out to do this and you wanted to be elemental or whatever, and then it turns into a totally different thing. When you hit that point and it's going to turn into a totally different thing, how much do you balance instinct and the roadmap there?
Usually did it already and I wasn't like, oh my gosh, this isn't the plan. It's usually I start doing, like the black, for instance. All of a sudden, there's these black shapes on my canvas.
So that's instinct took over.
And, and that happens to me a lot. And sometimes it's great. Sometimes something really beautiful has come of it. And I'll, like, like the marble on her eye, mm-hmm, kind of thing. It's like, oh, I'm painting the eye, and I'm like, oh, I wonder how one of those marble things I have would look. You know, I mean, I'll go and grab that, and which is defeats the purpose of me trying to get better and better skilled at my portraiture. No, actually, though, there was a lot of work underneath that glass prior to the glass.
Right, and that's one of those things that an observer would never, ever know without, you know, you don't know the story that goes into it. So
it's
let me...
It's weird. It's a beast of its own. It's like there are entities of their own and filled with... I mean, I sometimes just pray for, you know, energy and the... goddesses or gods, the deities of creativity that have been assigned creativity to help me out.
Smile on you. Well, being receptive, like you said, is the one of the main things, or at least seems to be.
Well, just, I mean, I'm serious. Like, sometimes it's like, I just don't know what to do. Somebody can... God, can you send somebody?
Yeah, I think
it's
everybody's...
Kind of a liminal state.
Right. Well, let me ask you one kind of pointed one, and then we can ask you a fun one and get you out of here.
I like it here.
Well, that's the way I got to do things. I'm actually curious how you maintain your freedom, your latitude in your creative process. Because when I see your pieces, regardless of what it is, that's one of the things that strikes me. I can tell you let yourself do this. You let this come to be.
That's right.
What do you think are some of the most important things you've learned along all of your experiences of creating these pieces that has allowed you to give yourself the latitude in your creative process to do that?
Well, I'm always trying to push the envelope. I mean, and sometimes I come up with these ideas that just seem like so hard. Like, I don't know anything about that. Like, what kind of material can I use to be symbolic of a different dimension? That's something I'm trying to come up with new ideas for, because I've done the plexiglass and I'm not good at cutting plexiglass. I'm sure over time I could be. But it's a that's more of a conscious decision.
Right.
And it sometimes takes the other part of me inside myself to give the other, my creative side, a kick in the ass and say, you know, you're just being lazy, or... Or you're listening to outside forces that are telling you to go paint pink flowers. Paint pretty. It's got to be pretty. I mean, I was brought up that way.
Yeah.
You know, everything's got to be pretty. And sometimes life's not pretty.
Facts.
And to get real, if you want to be, I mean, I still feel like I haven't reached that part of me where I am really, really allowing what I want out to be set free.
So pursuing giving yourself that latitude is part of the equation still.
Yeah, I mean, I think I a little bit more every time. But it's sometimes a fight. I mean, or even I have to fight for my artistic creativity, because, you know, especially from the ones that are closest to me.
Yeah, that seems to be often the case.
You know?
Or can be the case.
Family and even friends that are just like, you know, they don't get it.
Well, someone's got to speak the language.
I mean,
Yeah, well, yeah, that is the tangled web, no pun intended. So
we got to fight for our creativity.
Yes, and that
shred the box.
Yes, and that's why I ask that. I think all my cards on the table. I do think we're at a particularly poignant time in making sure whatever art is communicating stays being communicated. So I'm always
with you. I mean, we need to, you know, start a group or whatever.
Well, so I'm always grateful when people can come in and be representations of that, because I do strongly feel that it benefits all of us. Maybe we don't know how yet, but I think we'll remember. I don't think we have to learn it. I think we just have to remember. So let's get you out of here on something fun. I know you got a show coming up at Art Ovation starting July 1st. It's the first through the 9th.
First through the 7th.
First through the 7th.
First week.
So that's going to be cool. Yeah. That's right here in Sarasota. That'll be within a week of this episode coming out. So everybody make sure you get down there.
Yes.
Get in front of these pieces and get your existential on. It's good for you.
It's amazing to see them in person as compared to a photograph.
Yes, for
they
sure.
They just never do them justice. But I also want to mention there will be an opening, and I believe it's Friday night. That Friday.
Okay.
Will be the opening.
Cool. Well, so everybody watching this will have at least a week warning fire to get there.
Yeah.
I'm there
every evening, 4 to 8.
So Art Evasion excluded and what you have on the horizon excluded. If you could display your pieces, if you could set up your own gallery anywhere, what does it look like and where are you?
Well, I want to be near the water, I've decided.
Yeah?
Maybe Italy. I don't know. I've never been to Italy, but I'm thinking about going over there and checking it out.
Awesome. My
heritage is from there, and I don't know. It just looks like such a serene, peaceful, and talk about art, you know. But I would like to be near the beach or on the beach would be preferable.
Is there a gallery on the beach anywhere? That sounds
well,
like an interesting idea.
Well, maybe not the gallery. But, you know, of him and Hod, because I've thought of moving eventually, if not now, in the next few years, I'm going to, you know, my mom's thinking of parting with her house, and it's all family stuff, but...
Life,
yeah, and where would I want to be?
Mm.
You know, I thought about North Carolina and helping rebuild Asheville, but I do love... being here in Florida, except for the hurricane.
I was going to say, hurricanes aside, it's tough to be.
So, I mean, I don't like a big city. I'd rather be outside of the city and have my work shown in the gallery in the city.
Okay, so where's the dream
in the
city?
Big ones.
Where's the dream? Oh, so we could be like Paris, New York.
Paris, I don't think I'd want to live in Paris. How about Spain? I haven't been there either. But it looks really beautiful, and the art world is really... I've seen a lot of great artists coming from Spain.
Yeah, and the people that I know that have been fortunate enough to have gone there say it's an incredibly beautiful place.
Yeah,
so
it sounds really awesome. I'll pick that one.
All right. Well, when you're shut up in Spain, I'm going to be there.
Okay.
So, Melissa, I can't thank you enough for coming back down. I'm always happy when you reach out. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
I feel very honored.
Always.
To be here.
Your family here.
And,